All right. So, welcome and thank you all for joining us today. I want to give a big thank you to Alyssa Mueller and Sean Bruce, who will be speaking with us this hour. Alyssa is Digital Enablement and Architecture Lead, Information Technology, and Sean is Digital Innovation Advisor, Information Technology at Hess Corporation. So this interview is an element of IRI's digital transformation community. The DXC is a community of organizations that are on the journey toward digital transformation. Through the DXC, you can access case studies with fresh, relevant content. Our latest one on Brunswick is available on our website. A virtual conference, as you might have heard me just talking about, dedicated to digital transformation. That's Digital Futures, and it's taking place October 11th through the 14th. We're hoping next year we could do some in-person elements for that. Facilitated roundtable discussions on key topics. We'll be having our conversation tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern. If you'd like an invitation to that, if you don't already have one, just pop me an email. And then we do webinars like these with thought leaders. So these always take place on the third Thursday of the month at 12 o'clock Eastern. And next month I'll be speaking with Pete Dulcamara of Kimberly-Clark. And if you'd like the registration link to that, just pop me an email or it's on our website. And I'll be sure to sign all of you up for updates on the DXC if you don't already have them. And if you don't want to get the updates, just let me know and I'll take you off the list. Just a few housekeeping items to get through before we can begin our conversation with Alyssa and Sean. So first, this session is being recorded and you will get a link to the recording. We will be distributing the recording as a podcast, so there won't be any visuals here today. Second, please hold all questions until the end. Once we open the floor to questions, you can either type your questions into the chat or you can raise your hand using that function and I will unmute you. Right, let's go ahead and get started. All that stuff's out of the way. So again, Alyssa and Sean, thanks so much for joining me today. Wow. So let's start off with, you know, how did digital evolve in your organization and what are your roles?
Great, thanks, Lee. I'm delighted to be here and to join in the conversation today. So I'll get started and I'll let Sean jump in with his part of that answer. First, as an introduction to Hess, we have a long and proud history of being an independent oil and gas producer. So we have wells, we have plants and different facilities across the Gulf of Mexico, natural gas supplier to Malaysia and Thailand. And in particular, we have a presence in North Dakota. And so when we're talking about our work in digital today, you know, we are definitely in that common space that IRI members find themselves in, which is both physical and digital assets of value. So in terms of a digital for us at Hess, our team and my role is called Digital Enablement and Architecture. And this role is relatively new for Hess. It's about 3 years old. And this was the result of our CIO, who was coming new into his position around 4 years ago, thinking about the IT mission and recognizing that as a team, our IT team needed to meet the needs of today, of course, but also to be preparing for tomorrow's advances. And so as a result of that, he defined this position for digital. And happily, I had the opportunity to jump in and come into that role. At the same time, Hess was also recognizing the value of this, and therefore they created both the CTO role, Chief Technology Officer role, and the technology team. And so from my perspective, a great benefit for us in the digital space has been that we collaborate hand in hand every day between both the CIO teams and the new CTO team to ensure that we're getting value from a full digital life cycle. The other point I want to make, particularly thinking about your question around how digital has evolved, is that you'll notice I said digital enablement. I didn't use the T word intentionally. I didn't say digital transformation, right? And Lee knows this. She may have heard this on other occasions as well. And the reason for that is very specific. It's our part of our digital approach and our philosophy. We see digitalization as a means of many to the end. The end is what's important here. And the end is all about realizing business value, maybe in different and new ways, as is possible with digital, but also in standard ways around process efficiency, lean practices, et cetera. So we're focused on value and the outcomes that matter both to our bottom line as a company, but also to our employees. So that's why we talk about digital enablement. as being a means to the end and value for us. So when we think about our digital strategy, there's actually three key components to that. So I'm going to explain those because we'll come back to that in the course of our discussion today. The first of these is that we want to design simple people-centered solutions. The way that we do that is by the moment that we're looking at a potential digital solution, we start by asking why. Why would an employee want to start using an augmented reality headset when that employee's already got a laptop and a mobile and a clipboard maybe that they're working with, right? What's the benefit? And we keep digging into that to get to something that is a truly meaningful why for value and for employees. And often that means that we actually ask those same employees to help us find that meaningful why. So we're not even speaking for them. We're helping them to get to that answer. So first, design simple people-centered solutions. Second is that we need to enable digital technology by modernizing our current architecture. So we think about our landscape and our ecosystem as kind of a city, meaning the city has some very critical and important but old buildings, maybe City Hall, for example, right? Maybe our city also has meandering neighborhood traffic routes, very scenic, very nice, but maybe not very effective. And so as part of our remit from an IT perspective, we want to be ready for how we can modernize our city. And that requires thinking about repairs, renovations, rebuilding in that current city so that we are ready for the promise of digital solutions. Because we definitely have our share of legacy applications, legacy data stores like every company does. So that second piece is about modernizing our architecture. And third for us from a digital perspective, and most important, is that we want to connect our people, our employees, with their process and with their data, and we want to do that relentlessly. So if you'll indulge that city analogy a little bit further, what are the reasons why any city has sidewalks, buildings, utilities, new pedestrian paths? All of that matters because it serves the fine citizens of that city. They have a place that they can happily live and work. And so that's our aim from a digital perspective as well. So thinking about what this digital strategy means, it also became very important that we have some additional help in the team. And that's where I'm happy to let Sean explain his role in our digital enablement architecture team.
Thank you, Alyssa. It was a great introduction and overview of what we do. And I love using that analogy of a city. So I serve as the digital innovation advisor. I have the opportunity to work with the CTO team, this technology group that we were talking about, and help them kind of in a role as a traffic cop, if we're going back to that city. It's kind of fun. I get to work with the technology group as well as the IT organization. So sitting kind of in between, and we'll talk a little bit more about this, we sometimes have to direct things in its appropriate place. And that role of traffic cop is an opportunity to allow people to focus and move down the right path. I own the pilot process, so it's natural for me to play that role in terms of the traffic cop. I also have a background in Lean, which is a management approach that is focused on purpose, process, and once again, people, connecting people. And that actually turned out to be key to my role that I'm in today.
So I love the city analogy, by the way. That's spectacular. I'm gonna use that in future things. So heads up, I'm stealing it.
Fair enough.
So, and just a housekeeping item. I see we've got a hand up and we're happy to take questions, but we're going to leave them till the end. So just an FYI there. So expanding on what you mentioned about Lean, Sean, so you've got that strong foundation. Can you share how that has impacted all of the digitalization efforts?
Absolutely. So Lean is integrated into our digitalization efforts in the way that we manage our process and also in the way that we select pilot technologies to innovate. So it's really interwoven in all aspects of what we do. And it really is one thing that I think makes Hess special. And it's about starting with identifying the business need. Lean is about bringing value, and we want to deliver value to the business. So how do you do that? You identify the business need to start with. I'll give you a few examples of how we've used Lean in our digitalization efforts. Just from a process standpoint, as I mentioned, I'm responsible for managing this end-to-end process whereby we deliver innovation and digitalization technologies. And, you know, we were just even using Lean to analyze our process and look for opportunities to improve. One thing that we saw last year is the time for us, once we select a technology, to the time we're actually ready to do the experimentation, there's some administrative things that happen in there, and it was just taking too long. And it was slowing the process down. And, you know, it frustrates your users, your customers who are chomping at the bit, if you will, to get to the experimentation. So we looked, used Lean to problem solve, kind of drill down, understand the root causes, and we found ways that we could reduce that administrative time up front. And as a result, we've been able to reduce our time and get our customers, the technology group, to experimenting quicker. The other thing we use, value stream mapping. We look at the end-to-end, what are the upstream and downstream impacts of our digitization efforts? Are we aware of, you know, kind of the dominoes and what happens when they start to move one way to other parts of the organization? And, you know, finally, Kaizen. Those are who may be familiar with Lean, they might be familiar with the term Kaizen, which quite literally means good change. And we're talking about changing the way we do business, the way people connect with their data, for instance. We had a situation where we were struggling to allow our users to connect with their data, specifically their SCADA, which is their plant monitoring systems. And it was all tangled up. And so we used digitalization and Lean together to do a problem solving effort and identify specific opportunities to improve. So those are just some ways that Lean is integrated in everything we do as an organization.
Oh, that's excellent. Thank you. So moving back to you, Alyssa. So can you explain how and why you recently merged digital and enterprise architecture together and how that's worked out for you?
Oh, of course. I'm happy to. It's something that I'm very excited about for our team and for our company. So I mentioned earlier that if you think of our current technology landscape as a kind of city, you could think of Sean and I in our roles for digital as change agents. We're advocating for what we think is the value of a more modern city, right? And we're pushing for what is possible. And we're looking at different, you know, very interesting, powerful technologies like cognitive agents, computer vision, even data contextualization. And so we know what are the digital technologies that could be of potential value. And we definitely have that focus on why, like I mentioned to you earlier, of, you know, why is there value in this? How does this help employees? So we have the what and the why. However, as we are progressing in our digital journey, we found that we are missing this critical piece. And you guys probably know where this is heading, right? We had what? We had why. We didn't have the how. We didn't have that all-encompassing view of our technology ecosystem as it is today. And we also didn't have the technical depth to really understand how that ecosystem could change and how that could be in the future. And so it's that challenge that we often all face about fitting digital solutions with our legacy systems. And so that how is a critical missing piece from our perspective in the digital world. Well, guess what? In our view of our current ecosystem, that's something that our existing enterprise architecture team had in spades within IT. They are essentially experts in the how systems, data, our different services work today. And equally important, they already had that bent and that drive to think about how to pave the way for a more modern city, about how we might modernize our architecture. They really wanted to do that. And their history as a team for almost 10 years, various team members were focused on that way, but they were also missing something. They had the how. What they were missing was the why and the what coming from possible technologies and coming from the value drivers. And so when we think about the potential, we merged together our digital enablement and enterprise architecture teams. We did that late last year. And that was a strategic change because it really helped us to put those pieces together of what and why and then how. And we think of enterprise architecture as urban planners. And this is something that I'm borrowing from one of my coworkers who came up with that analogy, but I think it's an excellent comparison. And so if you step back and think of now what our team is, we are both change agents, but we're also urban planners. We understand how our city layout is today, but we also know what is possible and how to do that so that we can build that more modern city. So like I said, I'm very excited about what we can do. And as a result of that, that merger that we've had, we've come up with a much better plan of attack for digital, thinking about how to modernize our ecosystem, how we can fit all of the promise that we see from digital with the legacy applications that are going to be sticking around with us and that we still want to be to integrate into our full system. And so one example of that, a very simple one, is as you know, Sean mentioned, we are piloting and experimenting with new digital solutions. But because we were missing that how, as we did our very first initial evaluation of some of those solutions, we couldn't see the possible options for how a particular new digital solution we might want to pilot would fit. With the help from enterprise architecture, those urban planners, they can help us start thinking about those options, those hows, much, much earlier. So for us, it's been a key strategic change. And like I said, one that we're very excited about.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So just so I'm clear, you know, and you know, stop me if you've already answered this. So, you know, you sit within kind of the innovation and R&D part of the organization, right?
We
You're
actually
embedded there.
We are embedded, but you know, I report to the CIO. Sean and I both are part of the IT organization, and so we think of ourselves as having two hats that we constantly wear, right? Both CIO and CTO organization, and that you know, organizational design change or choice, I think, has been very beneficial for us to make progress in digital. I know there's different flavors for different companies in terms of where all of these roles would fit.
And so are there people like you in other parts of the organization too?
I would say there are others who are developing that in a less formal sense. So we definitely have technology advocates and champions. And part of what Sean and I do is find those people and work with them and help to bring them into the process that we are developing in terms of evaluating digital solutions, running the pilot process, et cetera. So we are focused at an enterprise level in terms of how we guide the company in our digital journey.
Okay. Thanks. That helps me get a bigger picture of the organization. So you've mentioned the piloting process and Sean, so you know that process is really challenging when you're piloting new tools and techniques. You know, how are you working to make that more successful?
That is a great question. And you know, it's all about being fit for purpose, if you will. So we want our digital process to be thorough, but we do not want it to be completely exhaustive, burdensome, where it discourages people from wanting to participate and innovate. We want them to be excited about doing that. And as you would expect, we have a very mature IT project management process. They have a lot of rigor that they go through before we put anything into our production environments. It's a little bit different with pilots. You know, we are not committed to deploying these things into production. We want to design, we want to experiment, and we want to learn. And then we want to do it again, and we want to do it quickly. Like I mentioned earlier, we just want to hurry up and get there and learn. So it's about being pragmatic. You know, so what we had to do is we had to look at our IT PMO process, and we had to say, how is the pilot's process different? And so we had to rename some things, for instance, develop different roles and those sort of things so that it's not heavy, but it's fit for purpose. And so we came up with a completely different naming and role nomenclature. I'll give you one example. We call one role an IT navigator, and it really is an IT support role to support the technology group and that organization to walk them through the IT process in an appropriate way. It's about guiding the process with principles and not being really rigid. We want to be flexible, but the appropriate rigor for something we decide to adopt and move into production will be there. It will go through the regular ITPMO process. So I mentioned earlier, we use lean. It's interwoven in all that we do. And another principle from lean is the idea of plan, do, check, and adjust. And it's a way for us to improve ourselves, that we plan a little and then we adjust a lot. Recently, we went through a check and adjust on that IT navigator, that IT support role that I mentioned to you. We found out there was some confusion about what that role is supposed to be doing. And so we're working today, actually, to work through that, to try to get the stakeholders involved. We want to hear from customers, we want to hear from IT, all the people involved in the process, and let's renormalize on that. And do we need to make adjustments to that role from the original intent? So it complements, we get compliments on the process, it's fit for purpose, but we're never just satisfied with that. We always are continuously improving this process.
Yeah, that's a really tricky one. It sounds like we're all still learning. So sticking with you, Sean, so how do you leverage digital to make the best of the pandemic and remote working? Kind of thinking about where we are right now and where we've been on, you know, our journey over the last 15, 16 months now, and you know, where things are going for you guys too. And you know, in the oil and gas industry, it's been especially volatile as well.
Yeah, you know, the pandemic has been difficult. And just like anybody else that's in this space and has had to deal with it, you know, it drives you to innovate quicker on some things than maybe you had originally planned. I'm reminded of Albert Einstein, who said, in the midst of every crisis lies great opportunity. And I think that's true for us. We found opportunities through the pandemic and through remote working. I'll give an example. We were working on a pilot with VR, doing some virtual reality pilots. And we said, how can we use this pilot to make our jobs better or work better remotely? And someone on our team had the idea, well, what if we had VR happy hours? And so we've had some socials and we've got together and we've taken pictures of those. And so it's been really, really fun to do. But through this process, we've learned about some really nice VR use cases. And we've learned some others that aren't so great that we thought would be cool, but aren't so great. Maybe even a little creepy.
Okay, please share. We we need to, if you're allowed.
Just some of the solutions. You look at the avatars that we come up with, and you're like, oh, that's kind of weird, and you're kind of invading my personal space and that sort of thing. So it's been fun.
I think to add to that, what Sean mentioned, when you have an avatar and you're in a virtual space or enjoying, you know, maybe a beautiful lakeside scene or whatever for your happy hour, and you've got these nice virtual drinks and pizza and things around you, it's funny, when you move about, you can find yourself hopping, you know, kind of on your coworkers and right next to your coworkers in ways that you wouldn't do in a physical space. So it's a little bit of learning, you know, new ways of interacting in that virtual space.
Virtual harassment, is that? I'm sure that's a thing. VR harassment. So, you know, going back to you, Alyssa, so, you know, what are your next steps? You know, where do you see the digitalization efforts in your organization going over the next year or two? I won't even attempt to say, you know, the next 3 or 4 years, because we don't think in those terms anymore.
Well, thank you for that, Leah. It definitely does get trickier, much more uncertain when we start to look out a little further. You know, I thinking about this, I mentioned that we have what I feel is this combined superpower from urban planners plus change agents, right? Digital enablement plus enterprise architecture. And so that has been the key about how we think about not only digital, but also going back to our CIOs, you know, our mission for our IT team is how do we begin preparing for incoming changes in terms of advancing and emerging technologies. And so as a team, since last August, we built a plan of attack of how we want to do that. And we're actually taking that in an agile process. So we've just started our second sprint about how we build our capacity together as a team to, you know, to both modernize our architecture, but also to be preparing for these incoming digital changes. And so we're, you know, maybe taking our own medicine in terms of digital ways of working, make sure that we can show how that works. And it's also been, I think, very helpful because we, you know, as you heard from Sean, we are iterative, we want to be flexible, and we want to continue to check and adjust, and agile is a way that we can do that. So what I'll mention is two areas of focus from that kind of the plan of attack that we've developed. The first is that we do over time want to shift the focus of our urban planning. Our enterprise architecture team today is working to get that current ecosystem, you know, today's city, the roads and bridges, et cetera, you know, up to code, up to a point where legacy systems are taking advantage of more modern architecture solutions and practices, where it's possible. And so those practices include, of course, things like containerization, APIs, microservices, you know, managing hybrid cloud infrastructure, et cetera. And so the key thing there, of course, is thinking about legacy systems and how we can modernize where it makes sense. So the first thing is to shift from, you know, our view of urban planning for the current city, and to allow the capacity for the enterprise architecture team to shift their attention more to the future. You know, what are the way, where do we need, you know, new roads, if you, if you're not tired of my city analogy just yet.
No, I'm not coming.
Awesome. Excellent. You know, the enterprise architecture team, letting them think about where would we need new roads? Where would we need them to be built? Not only where, but that key question of how. How can we best guide that, knowing how much changes and how quickly it changes within the digital world? So the first key initiative is shifting the focus of urban planning more towards the future, having stabilized and modernized our current city, which we know and love, I want to say. And then a second is an area of another area of focus, and I imagine would be familiar to those of you who are listening, shared with both our IT team and our technology team collaborators, is how to set up creative but safe spaces for our citizen makers. So we think broadly about the fact that our employees are very excited to take on these different citizen roles. It can be citizen data analyst, it can be citizen developer, it can be citizen automator, you name it. There's probably a citizen version somewhere, you know, coming out there. And so we know this needs to be a gradual shift, but it's really that question of not what, but it's how we can do that. And so again, with our urban planning plus change agent combination, we know that we can meet the coming need for this from our citizens within our within the company. And so this is going to be a big shift, but it's also one I think that demonstrates what is possible with this strategic combination of enterprise architecture and digital.
Yeah, I like that. And I like the you know, citizen data analysts and all of that. You know, I think we've talked about that in the past, and you know, I think you guys had a fairly robust process for bringing, for engaging people in that citizen process, or you know, in becoming citizen, you know, the citizen data analyst. You know, was that you, or am I thinking of somebody else now?
I bet you're thinking, in particular, one of our strongest areas and one that we're really proud of is in analytics. And so we do have what we call an academy, which is a levels of progressive training.
Yes.
Yep, absolutely right. So we have citizen data analysts that we train. We actually, and a number of folks have also progressed to that final level, which is the citizen data analyst. Citizen data scientist. And so as we do that, of course, the question comes up, how do we enable them with tools that are going to you know, connect them with their data, with their processes? As I said, that's our, you know, focus from a digital perspective. And so that showed us the initial need and interest. But of course, beyond data analyst and data scientist, there's those other citizen roles that we also want to be thinking about. And define the question of how we accomplish that. But you're absolutely right. We saw the promise and the potential of that through the work of our analytics team.
Yeah, that's such an interesting idea, you know, being able to take somebody and you know, have them kind of add that piece on to their existing role. You know, it just sounds like such a great way of developing internally, you know, because we hear so much about people bringing in, you know, data analysts into the organization, and they don't quite necessarily know enough about what the organization does, and the integration is such a huge challenge. But to kind of add that component on to different jobs, it means people are better able to talk to each other. It just seems like a great solution.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think our analytics team, you know, over time has experimented with those different options. And so they saw that this was really important, not only because there was a driving interest from executive onto, you know, employee level, down to employee level of in terms of the potential and value for analytics, but because we do see the benefit of that. If you're already, you know, at that level of knowledge around HESS, around our practices, around our key ways of working, then the ability to develop that capability over time, even as a data analyst, is absolutely essential. And it fits nicely into what is probably already your existing job, right? Adding that flavor of data driven decision making is something that I think we would agree we want, you know, all of our employees to be able to do in one capacity or another. So for us, this is why it really made sense to focus initially citizen data scientists and analysts, and then more about those other citizen roles too.
That's excellent. Thank you. So, you know, we're going to open the floor to questions in a second here. But while everyone kind of mulls over their questions, you know, I'd like to start with you, Sean. So based on everything that you've learned so far, you know, with, you know, using Lean and in your digitalization processes and tools, you know, what recommendations do you have for other companies as they undertake these efforts?
Get started. You know, don't wait. I always think of, you know, you have this thing of analysis paralysis where you can think through things way too much. You want it to be perfect before you roll it out, and you never roll out anything. And I'm kind of a perfectionist myself, so I suffer from this, and I have to make myself just get it out there so we have something where we can start working from. And, you know, I think another thing is, don't force yourself to adopt someone else's process. Just because we are talking about the way we do it doesn't mean that's the way you should. Learn from what other organizations are doing, take the best parts, and then adapt that and roll it out. It's Alyssa and I talk a lot about being pragmatic. Fit for purpose, you know, don't overthink things, you know, that's trying to keep it simple. And then finally, I just leave you with this idea is, I always think about the field of dreams. If you're familiar with the movie, this thing always just echoes in me. And in the back of my mind, it says, if you build it, they will come. But you have to get something out there, a place for people to come and start to work on their journey. So, Lean is about plan, do, check, adjust. Just get it out there, make adjustments as you go.
Excellent. Alyssa, what words of wisdom do you have? No pressure.
I don't know about wisdom, but I was not words, as you know. I think to add on to what Sean said, it's so important to get started and to really show without so much telling. And so the one example that I use is the problem of air guitar. In our early days working in digital, we are looking at augmented reality headsets. And so this was me in particular, being guilty of asking our employees to play air guitar. What do I mean by that? We were working with our field maintenance team. These are folks who are out every day across many, you know, sometimes hundreds of miles, ensuring that our equipment is up to date, is running, et cetera. And we gave them a demo with these augmented reality headsets. We had their managers or their leads and supervisors, and we had a few of them in the room as well. They saw the demo and they're like, oh, interesting stuff. I've got questions, you know, how does the battery work? Would I be able to see it? Normal, fine, good questions. And so then we said, okay, let's start into a brainstorming exercise. So I dutifully kind of started that brainstorming activity. And guess what? It fell flat. I was asking them questions about how would you use this? Where would be the value? You know, would this save you dollars in this way? Or how could this do that? And of course, it fell flat. It wasn't a fair question to ask them. And that's because we were asking those field workers, we're asking them to play air guitar. And I was expecting them to sound something like Jimi Hendrix and get the results of a Jimi Hendrix, or, you know, insert your favorite musician here, right? And so we realized we had to stop air guitar. It was about showing and not telling. And so in that case, we said, you know what, we're going to buy a couple of different manufacturers' headsets, those augmented reality headsets. We're going to put it in the hands of a few folks in the team and let them test drive it. Let them learn the capabilities and then start to help us with answering that critical question of why. So no air guitars is an important one.
That's great. Yeah, I like that. And then, you know, if they like it, then you've already got the advocate with it embedded within the team too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that does go to something we've learned from our IT project management process and practices, you know, something that we call behavioral change management, you know, adoption, you know, readiness to use whatever may be coming, whether it's from an IT project or from a pilot. We are working to adopt those change management approaches and figure out how they would work in those early stages of piloting. It's a different challenge because we don't know exactly what we would be asking, you know, those future users to adopt. So you can't ask the same questions about, are you ready for X? Because we don't know what X is. That's part of the piloting. But we do want to adopt those very successful and beneficial change management practices as we further mature, check and adjust, as Sean said, our pilot process.
Excellent. Well, some definitely words of wisdom. So we've got a few questions coming in, and Michael Dockham has been very patiently raising his hand for some time now. So Michael, do you want to jump in with your question?
Yeah, thank you. I'm the first time I've been in an IR call like this, so I didn't know the protocol. So thanks for...
Oh, it's okay. Don't worry. We'll kick you out.
Yeah. We're under the journey, digital transformation journey, and I agree with exactly what you said. Get started, you know, MVPs and introducing all these terms and getting people moving, having been through a few of these myself. But here's one thing that's always struck me is like, what's the difference between digital transformation, like the digital versus traditional IT? So we have these conversations like, well, that project looks like just another project, like what's the difference? And then you kind of know it when you see it, but I'm just curious how you define that and why is that important?
That's a great question. That's one that Sean has recently worked through. And in fact, we tested our routing, you know, are you a digital pilot? Are you an IT project? We just did that about 2 days ago. So Sean?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we worked hard and we grappled with this, and we want, you know, to play traffic cop. I'm going back to that again. It was an opportunity to play traffic cop. So we hear about this idea that someone has. And so we just ask some questions. Where do you want to do it? Do you want it to get into production quickly? Or is this something that you're unsure about? You just want to experiment with and you want to learn it before you make decisions. We always try to ask those sort of questions before we kind of point them in the right direction. In the case of pilots, these things are, we have no obligation to buy at the end of this trial period. So we can walk away and everybody is happy. We learned something. And so that would probably be a pilot. We can do it in an area of our ecosystem that is not production and it doesn't touch our production system. So that's kind of the one of our differentiators about which way we send it versus if somebody is like, we want to adopt this, we want to get it deployed, we know we want this, that is a regular ITPMO project. And there's going to be a lot of rigor associated with that. And then there's something kind of in between that we call an IT solution evaluation, which is we think we want it, but we're not sure, but we need to test it in our production environment. Okay, well, you're probably going to go through this route a little more rigor than an pilot. We have to mitigate more of our risks. We can accept a little bit more risk on the pilot side, less risk of anything that's going into production. So we have a decision tree that we walk through with our customers and we ask them these questions, and based off the responses, we point them in the right direction.
Yeah, that's great. Can you share the decision tree?
I think we can certainly share the approach of how we did that, because I don't think there's anything that's
proprietary,
you know, sensitive or special about it. But it's really keeping it simple, as Sean has said, and thinking about what are some of the expected differences between those. But there's definitely what you said, which is that sometimes I do know it when I see it. And if that's the case, then we're checking and adjusting.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Thanks for the question, Michael. Mm-hmm. So another one from Darren Marofsky from Danaher. So he asks, there's a cost in hiring analysts / data scientists and software. How do you think about the return on investment of digital initiatives?
I can take that one. And I do admit to having a little bit of insider knowledge. I helped Hess to also stand up their analytics team in the early days. And so I know some of the early growing pains that can come from thinking about that. So I think the first thing I would say is, yes, there's an investment in some initial and different capabilities in order to build something like, advanced analytics team. And so I think that investment probably early on becomes necessary. Then the question is, as you continue in that journey, and as you're able to demonstrate value, then you do make that shift and you ask the question of, is this something that we can develop as an internal dedicated capability? Or is this something that we want to also develop through the citizen data analyst, citizen data scientist roles? And so maybe that initial investment and the cost of data scientists, data analysts, even data engineers may decrease over time. So, but that really also depends on kind of the initial approach that you take in building a new capability like analytics or in digital. So to answer that specific question around how we look at value, there's two ways that we do it. And the first way is probably what you would expect. We look at things that are essential for Hess in terms of performance, being a trusted energy partner, et cetera. So it is barrels of production. It is any drivers to reduce the cost for us to produce those barrels. It is any savings and efficiency in terms of maintenance costs, et cetera. And that's particularly where our analytics team focuses, is driving after that why with the questions and with the answers in terms of value. There's also a second piece, which I expect is familiar to you, that comes from, you know, that why about how it benefits our employees. And it's something that I heard a colleague call fuzzy math, right? And there is always a fuzzy math component, I think, when we talk about value from a digital perspective. And that's still one that we see as a challenge, because we are after an improved employee experience, right? We want to connect our data, our employees with their data and their process, and we want to do that relentlessly. And there's a quality aspect to that. What is the user experience? However, that is something that is very difficult to quantify. And so that's where we look for options in that fuzzy math realm about improved perception, improved efficiency, you know, number of cycles through perhaps a process. But we definitely don't have the final answers on the best way to get after that fuzzy math that digital allows us to get to.
Excellent. Thanks, Alyssa. Les McIntosh from Arkema had a question too. You want to go ahead and ask it, Les?
Sure. I'm trying to get my camera to work. Sure. So Sean and Alyssa, thank you. Sean, I appreciate the analysis paralysis comment. So a little bit of background before my question. Our company is on the way to digitalization, but we're in the analysis paralysis phase, and the company is structured such that all functions are fractured in and among themselves. Every business unit's different, every R&D group's different. Our I team, our IS&T group is in 7 different departments that don't talk to each other. So we're all talking about digitalization, but that's all we're doing is talking. So my question for you is to take a step back in the beginning of your efforts is, at what point in time, and I'm looking for a story specifically, did Hess realize and hit a point where they said, hey, we got to do something? So I like the way you're structured, as I like the way you sit, and I would propose something like that within Arkema. But at what point did somebody say, we got to do something about this, and this is the way to do that? Was it an evolution? And finally, the third part of the question is, who made that decision? Who said, we got to do this? And how did they get everybody else on board? So quite a bit to answer, kind of a unpack it and leave it on the table. But that's the kind of thing I'm looking at and I'm trying to deal with right now. I'm enthralled with all the things you guys are doing, but it is so far beyond what we're capable of or even thinking about at this point.
Now, I think I would defer to Alyssa to answer this one. She touched on it a little bit during her intro. Really, it kind of started 4 years ago, right? Kind of with the CTO, kind of this realization that we needed to start this. And start moving in the right direction. And it's been a few years to kind of really even get that initiative going. But certainly Alyssa has all the history there. She was part of it.
Thanks, Sean. So I'll answer the first part of the question and then maybe ask for a reminder from Les or Lee to make sure we get the other parts to unpack. I think what I saw that perhaps catalyzed the activity in digital was probably a couple of things. I think the first was an example of what we didn't want to do, right? And that often provides us with lots of lessons to learn. So I'm going to be, of course, very general in the example here, so we're not naming names or anything like that. But essentially, a team, you know, identified what they thought was an incredibly powerful digital platform. This platform had the capability to do essentially many things that we already had within our HESS, you know, within our HESS ecosystem, that city that I mentioned. And this particular team, you know, didn't have a remit or responsibility across all of those different areas, but they looked at the platform. They said, this is incredibly powerful. They heard a lot of very good sales from, you know, from the company that offered that platform. And so they began what I would say is very much evangelizing, but they couldn't answer those questions of why in terms of true value, except for, you know, really seeing the potential and seeing a vision. And they definitely couldn't answer and necessarily hadn't gotten the help to answer those questions of how, right? And so this became a very kind of reactive response because, you know, as other teams see what's possible with this digital platform, they started thinking about this as well. And from an IT perspective, this was a challenge. We were so focused on you know, what we need to accomplish today that we couldn't effectively answer that question of how. And so I think that one example, you know, amongst many others as well, but that really helped to catalyze and say, you know what, we need to prepare ourselves for what is here or what is coming in terms of tomorrow. And we built off of that example. We use it sometimes in shorthand today internally, like let's not let have that happen. How can we learn from that? Have we learned enough from that we keep pushing? And that's why, Sean mentioned, we have a separate process where we can get started in smaller steps so that we don't look at a digital platform and say that we want to fit it across six other digital platforms we may also be looking at. We think about piloting in modular and small pieces. So I think that's the first example piece of your question that may help you.
And that's exactly where we are right now. We have a team. We have teams in different departments and different functions that are proposing different tools. And there's no cohesiveness or thought or process. So, okay, thank you, Alyssa.
Yep. And so one practice that we found to be helpful is rather, and this is specific to, you know, a company culture, but rather than dictating this is the central way we will do this, this is owned by a central team, we bring each of those different champions together and maybe look for the ones that are most amenable to collaborating on something that's better, not their single solution, bring them together in an informal network where they're talking to and learning from each other. But you're also in a position, if it's you who has this joy of digitalization, then it's also using that as an opportunity to educate while collaborating with them rather than going to them with a formal process of 65 steps and, you know, all of that sort of thing that may not be received well.
Alyssa, one thing that might be worth adding here is in every case where we are piloting a new technology, there is somebody from our technology group that is part of that team who owns it, but there's also a co-pilot that is in the asset or the function that is also has the most to gain from it and the highest interest in that. So it is very much, I'll go back to my Air Force days, mutual support. There's a pilot, and a wingman, and they're working together through every step of this process. And that helps us kind of create some consistency throughout the organization too, because kind of it's our central group and the folks in the technology group that are kind of holding all this together, but they're out evangelizing and working throughout all the other assets and functions within the organization.
Thanks, guys.
All right, and I think that's a good place for us to leave it for today. So I want to give a huge thank you to Sean and Alyssa for joining us and sharing your experience and your journeys and your wisdom and your analogies. I like those. Right, and I want to say a big thank you to everyone who joined us today as well. Thank you for your questions and for your attention. And I hope that you'll join us on July 15th for my interview with Pete Dolcamara from Kimberly-Clark. Until then, have a good early part of your summer and July 4th holiday. And I'll send out the recording shortly.
Thank you, Lee.
Great. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much, Lee. It was a pleasure.
Thanks. Thank you.
Bye-bye.